Hey everyone, welcome back to the Challenge Fandom Podcast. We've got another episode of the Challengers Unplugged, where we're being joined by a very special guest, winner of Challenge USA 2, none other than Desi Williams. Desi, thank you so much for joining us.
Yes.
Thanks for having me. I haven't said that in a couple of weeks. So
right?
So you just get right back into it. No rust there at all, huh?
Right.
Oh, I'm just saying I haven't heard challenge winner in a couple of weeks. It was like we did all that press the day after and it was like challenge winner, challenge winner, challenge winner, challenge winner. And then you go back to real life and you're just like.
Right. And then you're like, oh, wait. Yeah, no, I did do that. I did. All right.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess that was pretty cool.
I mean, and I did mess up the intro because I should have said Dr. Desi Williams. I apologize about that as well. I mean, that's a very important title.
It is.
Yeah. I mean, it's important. Not the biggest challenge winner. I mean, for the purposes of this podcast, at least.
That can be part of your new signature on your emails. Challenge
right?
Winner.
Yeah, right.
Dr. Desi Williams, challenge champion.
It's actually funny. I kind of try to keep that like a secret. So I go by Desiree. Like Desiree's my full name, obviously. But anytime I like pick up the phone at work or I sign my email signature, I put Desiree Williams in the hopes that like most of my patients are old.
So they're not watching.
Hopes that they like don't put two and two together. Yeah.
Right.
Exactly. Well, I mean, they might. I mean, CBS, it's kind of their demographic. I mean,
that's kind of true.
You know what I mean? So they might recognize it.
They might. Some know about it. And then others, I'm just like, if they bring it up, I'm not going to lie, obviously.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And it's not like you go on and like, you know, act a fool and like make a fool of yourself. So it should be fine.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I try not to. Right?
I mean, probably a sound decision nowadays.
Yeah. The house makes it all difficult.
Look, I was really surprised that you guys remained as composed as you did with some of the stuff that happened this season.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, I know like you, Michaela and Chanel were, you know, the alliance of the season, the Survivor Girls, Survivor Strong this season. Mm-hmm. I've also seen you guys being referred to as Destiny's Child on online. but then I watched like your face when Michaela won those back-to-back dailies and she's like, let's put in Tori, and your face was just like, maybe we shouldn't, because that means I'm going in, you know?
Yeah. Right. Like, hello? Like, I would not do that to you. Why would you do that to me? Yeah. The thing I will say, like, sometimes Michaela had these ideas, but we always discuss them. Like, I think that's why the three of us got along so well, is because we come from a background of, like, having full-time jobs where you have to be diplomatic and you have to discuss things calmly and, like, hear everybody's point. Right. So I think that really helped because, yeah, there were certainly times where it was like, you want to just like react, but it's like, all right, let me take a deep breath. Let's talk about this rationally. If I give her the rational reason why this makes absolutely no sense.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Maybe she'll be more apt to listen.
Oh, I think one of my favorite quotes this season was Chanel when you guys couldn't come to it, when they couldn't come to a decision when Red won the daily. Oh, and they're like, she's like, let's go ahead and table this part and circle back after we finish. I was like,
such a corporate response.
I was like, I hear that.
Right, so relatable.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Super relatable.
I actually had a question. I wanted to kind of jump back to, you know, getting the call for USA 2 after everything that happened, you know, in the final of USA 1. Were you like just ready to go into USA 2, or was it kind of like a decision you had to juggle with, or what was that decision like to come back for USA 2?
I mean, I hesitated to make the decision. Just because, and I've shared this a few times, but I feel like I went into USA 1 with like very little confidence in my ability to perform in a reality television game, just based upon like my Survivor experience. I was like, I can't lie like these people. I can't backstab like these people. And somehow I made it through USA 1 without having to like backstab or do any of those like wild things, or things that are like wild to me morally. And then I made it to the final with a lot of confidence that like, I could definitely win this thing. And then of course we all know how that ended. So I was really, my mom was like, I don't know if you should go back and play that show. Like, you're not like those people. You're not good at lying. I've never been a good liar. So I did really have to take a pause. Like, you know, maybe one time making it to the final was a fluke. Can I really make it to the final twice? Or am I going to go back and like do way worse than I did the time before? And there's like no worse feeling than that, like sliding down the the performance ladder.
Right.
So it took a few weeks for me to just totally be like all in.
you saying that, like, it makes me think about this, the episode we recapped where I believe it was you guys voted for Tory and you came out right away and said, look, like, this is not representative of who I am. And yeah, we were having the discussion and was like, you know, it's okay, it's a game, but like, I understand your perspective because it, you don't want it to be a reflection of who you are in the day to day world.
And I've always had a hard time with that. Like, and I actually think a lot of these reality TV people do. I think they say, like, you know, the game is different from real life. We can separate the two. But then you see people a year later, 2 years later, and they're still talking about that one game move you made. So like, everybody, it really doesn't slide off your back as easy as people say it does. And I didn't want, like, every time I've gone into a reality show, I don't want to change my character.
Right.
I don't want to change who I am internally for a TV show. Like, yes, this is a whole lot of money, but like, then I've got the rest of my life to live. I've got to face my family. I've got to face my patients. Mm-hmm. I've got to face, you know, my business partner. So I don't just, you know, my character is really important to me. So that, I don't know, that really tore me up for whatever reason.
Well, it's understandable. And you could see like the internal struggle, like while you were like trying to make the decision and then like the confessionals and just watching you be in the house, it was like, we could see that internal struggle of like, I know this is the move I need to make, but at the same time, it doesn't align with what I believe in. And now like that battle between yourself, and it was sad to watch. I was like, oh man, Desi, don't cry. Don't be upset. Please.
I know. It was sad for me to watch back. I know. I was like, stop crying. Ew.
I think it's super relatable because any one of us put in that situation, because like, I don't want to lie to someone unless I absolutely have to,
right.
You know what I mean? I know that the person across the way probably has kids just like I do. And, you know, I've got to make a move that's going to screw them out of the money, or because I need the money too. You know what I mean? As much as that might be a great person, it's the reason I'm here.
Right.
You know, so I can see that internal struggle and, you know, especially with your profession being what it is, integrity is such an important role in that profession that it's, I know I'm making a really random long point and it's early in the morning, so I'm not very concise, but it's my way of saying I understand.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Did you have an idea of who was going to be on this season of USA 2 before you got to the airport?
I mean, you hear like murmurs, I guess. And then, of course, like Gamer Bev posts. And then you like kind of know. It's actually funny. So Monty sat. I don't really watch Big Brother. No, I don't really. I don't watch Big Brother at all. But Monty was sitting directly in front of me on the plane from LA to Miami, and I had no idea who he was. But then we landed in Miami and I went on Twitter and I saw that Gamer Bev had posted the cast, and I was like, oh, there's a really tall black man on the cast. There's a really tall black man sitting directly in front of me. Like, that must be Monty. And we didn't like even speak until like there was this long walk to the next terminal. And then he turned around, he was like, hey, are you Desi? I'm Monty. And I was like, yeah, yeah. We sat right next to each other on the plane and had no friggin' idea. So I say that to say, like, you sort of know some of the people, but obviously not all of the people. Because unless it's been leaked by Gamer Bev or somebody else has leaked it to you.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's just no way to know. And of course, Gamer Bev doesn't always get everything right.
Well, it's always interesting, too, like, because of the, like, the Survivor realm, you start paying attention to when you know that the calls are going out, you start to pay attention to, like, who's in the gym and who's getting ready. Mm. And Kellen from Ghost Island was interviewing Dom for her podcast. And Dom was like convinced that Kellen was on for USA 1 because she had started posting that she was in the gym. And she was like, no, I'm not. And he like kept hounding her because he's like, no, like you have to be. You've got to be on the cast. And she's like, no, like, I don't know what you're talking about.
Right. I just want to be healthy. Like, is that a crime? So, yeah, but you can see the people working out. I think it's like Chanel. But Chanel and I weren't friends. So I never really asked Chanel if she was on. But of course, she was posting a ton. But also she was posting a ton before. I think she was even like a ton of gym content before she was asked to be on the challenge.
Did I see Michaela say that you guys, like the three of you didn't really necessarily know each other all that well going into the season?
I had never talked to Michaela a day in my life.
Yeah, that's what I thought, and I was absolutely floored.
Yeah, I had met Chanel once at like a Survivor party, but we weren't friends. Like, I didn't have Chanel's cell phone number. Like, we weren't friends at all. And I actually didn't think I'd be able to work with her in the house because she had so many, like, she's very close to like Tiffany and Amira, and like, she just had too many people that I was like, she's going to be spread thin. Can't trust her. Michaela, I can't say she's hard to read, but it's hard,
she's hard to read.
But she's not, because she like sort of says exactly what's on her mind. So you can't.
Yeah.
Right. Does.
But she's very calculated. So I was like, I'm not sure if she's going to actually want to play this game with me.
Yeah.
Because I can't say I'm. Yeah. So, yeah, it just kind of organically happened that we got forced together. And I think we all communicated very similarly. We ended up kind of being the straight shooters of the group. Once we had established our like alliances, like Survivor Strong, we were the only ones still kind of adhering to our original alliance and how that happened. But no, they weren't like, we did not go into this game.
I suppose when you're perceived to be an alliance, you're kind of like, okay, might as well.
Exactly. Well, and that's kind of what ended up happening is they kept referring to us as like, Desi Michaela Chanel. And it was interesting because Tiff was in lived in our room with us. But for whatever reason, they would like replace Tiffany with Michaela. And I'm like, Michaela doesn't even live here. Like, let's go to their room. I'm like, she doesn't live here. This is not her room.
That's crazy, actually, because like just the friendship and the chemistry, at least that was portrayed in the edit, like it would have seemed like you guys have been friends for a while now, you know? So that's crazy. Like that's good chemistry though. And yeah, Michaela, more what I met with Michaela is she's one of those people where when she's not talking, that's when I'm like, I'm nervous. What's going on? What is she doing? Like,
yes. And she goes through these moods where she is not talking. Like, for days, and you're like, did I do something? Like, have things change? Did I say the wrong thing? But then, like, the next day, she's back to being, like, super social. Yeah. So I think she just is not used to, I mean, who is used to living in a house of 20 people? Like, you know, if you're used to living alone and you're in your 30s and you've lived alone for, like, you know, over a decade, you're just like, what is all of this noise?
I could not do that.
I also spent a lot of time in my room.
Yeah, I would too. I would too. And it's so funny because if you guys remember, like on older seasons, like that's how Laurel always was in the house. Like she would spend a lot of time in her room, just like reading, staying away from the party and the mess. And she used to get like made fun of and like picked on all the time for that. And it's like, that would be me. Like I would just be sitting there reading. Just please leave me alone. I need to stay in my happy space or I'm going to not be fun to be in the house with.
Maybe that's why we can't have books anymore because she was reading all season. We're not allowed to have books. So I'm like, I don't know what she was reading. I think somebody was able to get a Bible in last time because they were like, are you going to tell somebody they can't
have a
Bible?
That's crazy.
But other than that, yeah, you don't have any books. So I don't know what she was reading unless she was writing her own stories.
I'm thinking it might be a newer rule because there was also a season. I can't remember exactly which one it was, but I want to say it was like.
It was Real World. It was Sarah Rice.
No,
because they had that
library.
That's
not what
bond.
I'm talking about.
Jumping in too soon.
I think it was like Dirty 30 or something like that. But CT had a book of scary stories that he would sit up and read to everybody while they were trying to fall asleep at night. And he would just read out of this book of like horror stories. But they were like real life stories that happened in the country they were filming in. I want to say it was like Thailand or something.
That's hilarious.
And so I'm thinking maybe it might be like a new rule that they might have implemented.
Maybe so.
Oh.
I have a feeling that at one point Bananas was reading Eat, Pray, Love. And they used to put tape over the title of the book.
Yes.
But like, really, I get it if it's a brand or it's something like that. But like, it's the title of a book. I don't think you have to blur.
I mean,
that
better
out.
Safe than sorry, I guess. But yeah. I wish we had books. I love reading, but no, we have no books. But I still would just spend time. I'd like journal or like doodle.
Absolutely.
Like I can't engage with those people.
The house was a lot.
Yeah, just working 8 hours a day. I need like an hour to decompress. I'm like, I peopled way too much already. I need a couple minutes.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, but Chanel, I feel like Chanel's social game was not shown enough. I would literally wake up in the morning. We slept right next to each other. She'd already be gone out having conversations. She'd come back to the room, take a quick shower, go out, have some more conversations. And I'd still be like, in bed. Like, what have you been doing all day? And she's like, just, you know, I talked to so-and-so and I talked to so-and-so. I was like, how do you have that many words in you? my word quota, I think, has been met for this season. Like, I have exceeded my word quota for the month.
So one thing I was curious about, were you contacted for World Championship?
In the very beginning, I was, but they like took too long to decide if they were like to choose the cast. And so eventually I just pulled out and I was like, if you guys don't have a decision by this date, which was like a month before we were supposed to leave, I was like, you guys can just count me out. Like, I can't rearrange business in less than a month. Yeah. Like, you gotta give me some time.
You gotta give me some leeway.
Yeah. It's crazy how they do that. Cause I've heard that a lot from different challengers is like, sometimes they only give you guys like 2 or 3 weeks, like final notice of, hey, we're flying. You're definitely on the cast. We're flying out in 2 weeks. And it's like, how are people supposed to deal with their kids, their jobs, their mortgages, their bills, all that stuff? What? In 2 weeks and train? What?
Yeah. I mean, I think that's kind of how they keep on recycling the same people, is because like they know the people who are able to just throw everything down and, you know, jump. So I guess that's why Johnny's been on 22 seasons when he don't have any kids or.
Yeah, that's.
I was going to say, I guess like the career reality stars or, you know, whatever, like the people who do this like as a career, I guess that's, you know, but yeah, like the everyday person, that's crazy.
Side note, though, the advice you gave to Bananas about dating was top tier. I just want to put that out there.
Yes.
So that was actually Michaela gave it to him while we were in the house. I was just reminding him of it because Bananas is like, he actually is like a really high quality guy. Like, he cooks, he's very clean, he's kind, he's caring. And I'm like, you are actually a really good catch, but you're just like fishing for the wrong type. Like,
Yeah. He does need to find someone with a 9-to-5. Let's be honest. He needs some grounding.
He needs somebody to ground him. Yes. That's a really great way to put it.
He needs grounding for sure. Or. Sure, just to live in Banana's head for a day.
Oh, I couldn't imagine it, to be honest.
Just like, an hour?
Just that, let me out.
Like, you talking about Chanel, how like she's out there all the time talking, like just being in Banana's head for an hour, I'd be like, dude, I need to shut down for 12. Like, this is too much.
Right. Oh my gosh. Because the amount of words that come out of his mouth, I'm like, there's got to be more words in his head that he just doesn't have time to say because somebody else is actually talking. That's why we didn't get along at first, because I was like, this man doesn't quit. He doesn't stop. Like, if a camera is around, this man is going to be talking. We've since made amends.
I did hear he brings his guitar and starts singing like very popular songs, so that way they can't record during those times when he's having conversations, which I found was very interesting. Were you exposed to that at all?
Oh, I mean, so they only let Bananas have his guitar on the weekends.
Oh, okay.
Which maybe isn't a new rule, too, because probably they also caught on the fact that he was trying to cover up game conversations. So technically on Saturdays, like, it's supposed to be our off day, even though people still talk game. So on Saturdays, he would always play his guitar. Sometimes if we like had a night out afterwards, they'd give him his guitar. So, Bananas has, we've all heard Bananas sing and play his guitar. Countless number of
times. He's behaved himself, so he gets his guitar as like a reward.
But it's like great for us too, because otherwise we don't hear music. Well, know, like, and music is so much a part of most people's everyday life that it's nice, even though it's the same like 7 songs. It's like, I will listen to these 7 songs every Saturday if that's all I can get.
It'd probably be like a true break from the game versus like just downtime, but actually having like that break from, for lack of a better term, that break from reality of being able to just kind of chill. And how many of us don't have a memory of like sitting around a campfire with a guitar and just like hanging out?
I was going to say like the best, like that's so much fun. Just sitting around a campfire, somebody's playing a guitar, you got a drink, your friends are around, you're just laughing and listening to me. That's like the best. So that's cool that they actually like let him do that though.
And that was probably one of our best nights in the house was we did just that. We had like a fire pit. I think we only used it that one time. We all sat around, Bananas played, we sang along. And at the end, we like made up a challenge rap.
Nice.
There was a later challenge rap in the season that the girls made up, but this was like a group challenge rap. And we all just like went around and freestyled a couple of bars. And that was like, I was like, this is, we're like, we're in friggin' Croatia in this mansion around a fire. Like, can life get any better? Yeah. And then, you know, you wake up the next day and TJ has his what's the word I'm looking for? he gives his like laugh and you're like,
oh, his diabolical laugh.
Yeah.
Diabolical is the word. I was like, why can't I find diabolical? That's exactly the word I was looking for.
Oh, it's okay. Yeah. It happens to me daily. It just happened to be my turn to use the brain right then. So
fleeting moment. Like, I haven't had my coffee yet. So.
What I was curious about is coming into this, USA One being only cast members from like Big Brother, Survivor, Love Island, and of course, Amazing Race. And then coming into this season and then all of a sudden seeing that, you know, that there's going to be challenge vets and champions that took place. Did it? I mean, obviously, you knew before we saw it in the edit. But when you see them show up at either the hotel or the airport, did it change to how you thought you were going to approach this game?
I was obviously not thrilled to see them. and I think I was pretty vocal about it because when I said, like, we need to get these vets out, like, I believe that through and through. I was like, they've got to go. They played this game too many times. And it'd just be interesting. Like, obviously, there were vets on each team. But when we're still in teams and prepping for a challenge, like TJ explains a challenge, then you have like a couple of minutes to sort of plan what's going to happen as a team. And just to see how quickly, like, for me, it would be Wes. I'd be like, all right, I think the best way to do this is X, Y, Z. This is the strategy. Yeah. And on, you know, Banana's team, he was doing the exact same thing. So it's like just the knowledge that they have because they played so many of these similar games. Like you don't play these games in real life. You only play these games in the challenge. Yeah. So they just have so much experience that they can just plan things out better. So it's like, if we don't get rid of them, like, how are we going to beat them? They got to go. We got to get them out.
You know what? That's a really interesting point that you bring up, because I think it was, I forget if it was Chanel or Michaela. And they were talking about like, no, if you
it
take,
was Michaela.
It was Michaela. If you take off, you know, the vet on that team, they're at such a disadvantage, you know. So to hear you kind of reiterate that in the way they were able to prep for those dailies.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
What was the deciding factor to make you switch from green to blue?
I honestly had no choice. I think I had put such a big target on my back because I, for whatever reason, they thought I was running the Rookie Alliance. Mm-hmm. Which I don't think, like, we were a very collaborative group. There was, they're like, I was not running it. For whatever reason, they thought I was, like, the silent killer. So I had painted such a big target on my back that I knew, like, it also kind of became clear that, like, blue and red were working together. Right. And green team was excluded. So I felt like I had no choice. Like, if I stay on green team, I'm going to be in the sand every week fighting. Like, that's just, you know, where I am in this game right now. So I had no choice but to move to blue.
Right, right.
Well, and I found it really interesting because you didn't make a ton of huge moves throughout the game, but the one really big move you made, inconsequential to your decision making outside of just excluding Wes from what you wanted to do in the elimination, but it ended up creating like the biggest rivalry all season between Wes and Cassidy.
That was like beautiful poetic. There was so much poetic justice, honestly, this season that like, I was like, God is really just like working in this game, because somebody would like cross us. Like, you know, me, Michaela and Chanel were always kind of straight shooters. We would, you know, say what we were going to do and then we would do what we were going to say. But anytime someone started to sort of veer from that, it was like their ball got pulled. They went home or like some other drama started. So that was actually, I think, probably why Wes doesn't like me now. But that was the best thing to watch the whole game was just the way he was like, you put Cassidy against me and now we've got this rivalry, which I mean, to be fair, like that's not really what put him it probably fared worse for Cassidy, but I think Cassidy would have ended up there regardless. But it was just funny the way he tried to like put that back on me, and I'm like, still working out for me. This is still working out great for me. So I'm not sure what you're trying to say here.
I was going to say it's, and you saying that, you know, like God was present in the game, like we were saying, like throughout the season, like the challenge karma god is monitoring this game ASAP, because it's like Josh spun on Bananas and gets his ball pulled right
immediately
there. Like, and it was like, this never happens, let alone the fact that he has to go against his best friend in his best friend's favorite elimination. Like, it's like, wow,
there was so much karma.
Yeah.
But honestly, like the whole Wes thing, I just want to say this really quick, because I thought this was so funny, because when you guys were picking teams and you picked Wes for your team, you had said something along the lines of, you know, little Desi would want me to pick Wes, like insinuating that you know, have been a fan of Wes and all of that through your time of watching the show. And I remember that we had talked about that and somebody had commented somewhere on our page or sent a message or something and was like, great, we're going to get another one of those players who's like obsessed with Wes and is just going to do everything Wes wants. And I was like, I don't know if Desi is going to be like that. And then you like flipped on him and it was just like, oh, I told you. Like, it was so cool to see somebody who's like, yeah, I'm a fan of you and I like you, but this is still my game. And it was so good to see somebody do that. Like, not do that to Wes, because, like, I love Wes. But at the same time, it was just, like, killing that expectation of, like, Wes having, like, the fans in the house, you know?
And I think that's what he was expecting, because he kept trying to, like, call himself our mentor. And we were like, we're playing a different game than we're the majority, like, respectfully. So, like, you might just have to play our game. And I have so much respect for Wes and, like, how, I mean, he's played this game forever. Yeah. He's kind of change this game in a lot of ways, but at the end of the day, like, I put you on my team because I think you're a good player, but not because I want you to run this show.
And I think it speaks to that, like, when you guys did that first deliberation and you were like, no, we need to go after a vet, and Chanel like shut him down, and the edit we got is when he came back and he was talking to like Bananas and some of the other vets, he's like, it's not a Big Brother Survivor theme. They just want the vets out.
They just want the vets out.
And it's like, but it speaks to what you're saying as far as they get such a quick read on the game that they know what's going on just from one little instant. So it almost makes you want to push them out even faster.
Yeah.
To open the game up for yourself even more.
Yeah. And that was really, it wasn't like we thought the vets were bad people, but like, we got to give the rest of us a fair chance. This is, you know, most people's first time. So three of our second time. And this is their, like, you know, 7th through 22nd. So make some space. Let's make some space. Well,
and that's the thing, too. It's like a proving ground, too. Like, you've got so many people who are coming from Survivor and from Big Brother to potentially go on to the flagship if that's what they choose to do. And it's very hard to make a name for yourself when you've got some of the biggest names at the table with you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Oh, sorry. I was just going to ask something really quick about like the having the vets and the teams thing. Did you guys as a cast have any idea that the game was going to change? Or did you guys think you were just going to be in teams the entire time?
I'm trying to think if we had any discussion around that. I mean, it would make sense that eventually you got to change the format because like, but I don't know. I don't think that we had really even discussed much about
just kind of talking about, since we're on the format, and I'll go back to the question I had just a second ago, but have you ever watched Cutthroat and seen the like the connections between your guys's game and that season?
No.
We're gonna send you the season so you can watch it, or if you have Paramount Plus. Okay,
how do I even watch that? Yeah, I have Paramount.
It's on there. So
it's season 20.
It's just like the way you guys start, three teams. I think it's even the same colors, like red, blue, and green.
Gray. They didn't do green on color.
Oh, they did gray.
So it was red, blue, and gray. I don't know where the green came from on USA. I was very confused why they didn't do like white, like red, blue, white, red, white, blue. I don't know. Green.
It's the challenge. They can't even title an episode properly.
Oh my God.
Sorry. Yeah, I don't know. Well, Desi doesn't do that, so.
No, she doesn't title the episode.
Yes.
No.
I'm not in charge. I don't even know the titles of the episodes.
There was a lot of Will Smith movie titles.
A lot, yeah.
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 But
Independence Day and, you know, stuff like that. Like, it was just like, okay.
Anyways, a good reason to watch Cutthroat 2 is if you want to see one of the most epic moments of Bananas failing, it happens in that season. And that's where we get the Bananas backpack. Okay, so,
got it. Okay, but I need to watch because I actually don't even know the origin of the Bananas backpack.
Oh, it's a good one.
He tells a different story as to like what his nickname Bananas. It has nothing to do with the backpack.
No, he had his nickname Bananas before that. There's multiple stories out there, but the one I believe the most is, apparently there were two Johnnies like in his friend group and he worked at Banana Republic. And so they called him Johnny Bananas and so they could separate the two. But yeah, no, the Bananas backpack, the thing that I love the most about that is the Bananas backpack happened. And then now like Johnny Bananas has his own like clothing line. Well, he actually has a backpack that has a banana on it and it's called the Banana Backpack when you order it online. It's just very, very clever of him to like play into that. But
yeah, I mean, he's making a living. The man owns a house in California, so he must be doing something right because The rest of us can't figure it out.
So. Look, I'm living
in an apartment forever.
Well, you gotta you gotta do 27 seasons of the challenge. You'll be fine.
Yeah, okay. That's motivation, right?
Look, I'm gonna be.
I don't have that much time left. So.
I'm gonna be honest. We live in Reno, and it was a struggle to buy a house here. So in Southern California, it's no joke. Yeah.
So expensive.
Yeah.
Going back to with the vets and the way you guys were playing this, I have a theory, and I'm just curious on this. Is that in those first early eliminations, we got a lot of the strong women mm-hmm. in those eliminations, mostly yourself and Tori. And the fact that you guys both had physical eliminations, do you think it kind of put the house on warning? Like, because your guys' name never really came out outside of Michaela talking Tori at the end of the season.
Right.
Do you think that had an effect, seeing what Tori did to John A., what you did to Amanda?
I mean, I don't think they necessarily would have to have even seen it in the elimination ring to be like fearful right. of it.
Yeah.
Right. Because if you're trying to protect your friend, then you're not going to throw in a strong girl against her. So, yeah, I don't think it really had to do with necessarily our elimination performances. I just think people looked at us and they were like, they're strong.
Yeah.
They're probably going to win.
Yeah.
let's not send them in against someone who we don't want.
To right. Win.
I mean, to be fair, Desi, you probably could have beat me in that pole wrestle. So.
I mean, I don't know.
That was impressive.
But
no, that was three rounds, right?
Yeah. So it was actually three rounds. I mean, two rounds. We didn't.
Yeah. I was going to say, I wouldn't assume you would have. no offense to Amanda or anything, but.
Yeah. Major props to her. She fought. No,
Amanda is scrappy. I will give her that. And I am not a scrappy person. I'm like, I'm just going to drag her until she gets tired and then I can pull her out the ring.
Right.
Like, whatever. I can drag her through the sand all day. But like, I'm not like, I didn't want to get her to get hurt. I didn't like, so I keep saying, if I go back to the challenge, I need to learn like aggression. I need to learn how to, cause like, I don't really feel rage. Like rage is not an emotion that I experience or have, like, I don't know rage. And I need to, if I want to go back and like potentially have to go into the elimination ring over and over again, I need to learn rage.
You got
to
meet her.
I'm not sure how you do that, but
well,
yeah, I need to meet rage. Yeah. Where she is.
I think you are scrappy. You just don't like to admit it because I watched that wrestling match and there was like a standstill.
Ooh.
And then all of a sudden I forget what was her name. She was from 42. I can't think of her name right now, or 43. The blonde girl that was on the Cassidy?
43. What?
Cassidy, there we go.
Oh, I was like,
sorry.
Sorry, you're talking Survivor. Yeah, I was like, we don't have 43 seasons of the challenge. What are you talking about?
I was going to say like Khaleesi, but that's like her IG name.
If you would have said Khaleesi, I'd have got it. Yeah.
You would have been like, Game of Thrones? Yeah. What?
No, I'd have known it was Cassidy.
yeah, we would have known.
But
yeah.
You were just sitting there and there was like a lull in the wrestle and you just kind of looked over and you're like, fuck it. And just grabbed her and tackled her. I was like, so you have some scrappiness in you.
Yeah, I don't know. I hated that oil wrestle, by the way. Hated everything about it, everything it represented. But I was like, we also need to get this over with. We're going to be in this ring.
Oh, yeah.
All day. So whatever. Let's get this over with. And better for me to start fighting her than to start fighting Michaela or Chanel. And that was probably the best decision I made that challenge was to not fight Michaela or Chanel.
Yeah, like Michaela, like as soon as I saw what the challenge was, I immediately flashed back to watching Millennials versus Gen Xers when they were doing the thing for the ring.
Oh, and Michaela's shirt came off and she didn't care. Yeah.
Yep.
Just boobies out. She was still wrestling everybody.
Different breed. That was terrifying. I was like, how? Where do they learn these moves?
I was shocked watching Michaela and Chanel. I was like, is this a WWE? What is this? Like, how do they know these moves?
You guys train for this?
Yeah.
Exactly.
What is this?
Yeah, no, I was like, this looks like they both done Brazilian jiu-jitsu for like 5 years, the way they were spinning around. And I was like, I would have probably just stepped on the outside and been like, no, I'm good.
I'm done.
Same. Yeah. Same.
So
I was glad to be on the outside.
Just watching the show like, go girls.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to just cheer you guys on from over here.
You could have been an umpire like Fessy. Just stand on the side.
Oh my God.
Truly. I mean, yeah. It's like, I need my face and my teeth to be intact at the end of this. That's the only thing I could think of is like, I need my face and teeth and hair. Like, I don't know. It's just like, so much could go wrong here. We have no helmet. I have nothing to protect my face.
The safety precautions on the show are a not joke great. Sometimes, honestly.
Yeah. One question I did have about your, and actually I want to follow up on that just real quick. But one thing I was wondering is, how the alliances changed, because I remember in USA One, it was very much show lines, right? Like, so like Tiffany was one of your guys' very first ones that you're like, we got to get out of her. We got to get her out. Her social game's too strong, all of that. And then we come into USA Two and you guys, it seemed like you guys all four linked up really quick, at least from what we see in the edit. So how did that play out?
So I had talked with Alyssa L before the season. And then I guess we're not supposed to say pre-gaming, but
no, you guys are friends and had conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah. We had a conversation just essentially that like there are three vets and I hadn't really had a conversation with Tiff yet. But as far as Alyssa L was concerned, it was like, we're going to try to look out for each other. Like there's only three of us from the original flagship show. Like we've got to have each other's back. And even though Alyssa L and I obviously didn't work together at all season one, we just kind of agreed that we would this season. So Alyssa L was part of that alliance. Alyssa L was also very close with Tiffany, like very, very, very close. And obviously I lived in the same room as Tiffany, and then Tiffany was really close with Chanel. Like, honestly, when we first started the game, there were too many people in our alliance. It was basically all of the rookie girls, except for, I feel like Cassidy was in our alliance, but she wasn't like in our alliance meetings. Like we would have these like massive meetings of all the girls talking about the plan for the week. And she was always like probably off flirting with someone respectfully. Honestly, that's probably what she was doing. I don't know. She just wouldn't be there. I forgot what the question was. What was the question?
About Tiffany, about the alliances and how they shifted.
Yeah. And then that just kind of shifted naturally on its own. Like,
right.
You know, once Tiff went home, then she was no longer a part of that. And then Alyssa and Alyssa L went home. She was no longer a part of that. So that kind of shifted that alliance. But I would say for the most part, like we were still looking out for the rookie girls. The Big Brother guys kind of felt like they were trying to play their own game. Like I couldn't figure out what was going on with the Big Brother guys. And we try to pull them in. Tyler in particular, especially towards the end, we'd be like, this is how we're voting. If you want to be a part of our voting block, you should vote this way. And then he would do something different. So then it was like, all right, Tyler can go.
You gotta go.
So it was just like as people showed their true colors, it was like, okay, they can go.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Michelle was kind of the last one that was like, oh, and now we see where she stands. She can definitely go. So it was just like, it was never really intended to be Survivor versus Big Brother. It was like really this big girl alliance. And then the boys were doing whatever it was the boys were doing, you know, Sebastian flirting with Tori, Chris playing the middle, like they were just doing their thing. And then we just did what made sense.
Yeah, it was like, it did seem like Chris and Michelle for most of the game were playing the middle until Chris got into those first two eliminations. And it was like, all of a sudden he was like, nope, nope, I don't have a choice. I have to work with Survivor.
Yeah.
I think Michaela put the fear of God in him with that conversation she had that we saw in that one episode.
And I don't know that he still would have. I don't know. Chris played a really weird social game.
Yeah.
So I actually had a question kind of about the social situation, especially with like, you know, you and Michelle and Chanel and all of them. There was that one vote where I believe it was the red team that had won, and Michelle and Chanel and Michaela were all, you know, supposed to be doing their best to keep you out of the elimination. Obviously, that didn't work out. And there were some people who went against what they were supposed to say at that table. So I kind of jumping back to the whole, you know, separating game from real life. I'm just kind of curious, like what, like when you heard about that and you saw what actually went down, like how that has maybe affected the alliance, or did it just not really affect it at all for you?
No, I mean, it did. And I think for me, that's when I was like, okay, Chanel really does have my back. She's not that solidified my alliance with Chanel for sure. But I did look at Tiffany and Michelle differently. And honestly, I never really trusted Michelle, but Chanel trusted her so vicious. Like she was like, no, I trust her. I know who she is as a person. We are friends outside this game. So I also wasn't going to like cross my closest ally to be like, F your friend. You know, that's how I felt for a long part of the game. And then that final one was like, this is the straw that broke the camel's back. Like, yeah. I can't pretend to be okay with this anymore. Like she's lied too many times. She's had too many missteps. This one I cannot forgive. But Tiffany went home very shortly afterwards. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like there was so much poetic justice that it was like, She knew something going into that deliberation that she wasn't sharing with who was supposed to be our core alliance, and that made her vote a certain way when she got there. So karma came back, and like, I didn't even have to do anything. Like, karma just came back and got her for it. And then she went home.
Well, I mean, and the same thing happened with Michelle, like literally. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously you guys put the wheels moving to get her in, but she doesn't make that move the week before. You guys never have to do that. And you're targeting someone else.
Yep. Exactly.
One of the alliances I was curious about is because it just seemed so out of the blue. So it makes me think that the vets approached you guys, but Bananas, Tori, and then you, Chanel, and Michaela. How did that come about?
Yeah, I mean, as quickly as it was shown on TV, like literally Tori pulled me like as we got back from that daily. And she was like, I want to talk to you real quick. And they found like that quick conversation was how quickly that happened.
Wow.
And there had been a conversation earlier in the season. Actually, Chris wanted me to work with Tori early in the season when he was playing the middle. He was trying to convince me to come to the middle with him.
Yeah.
And so Tori pulled me then and we had a conversation and she was like, I think it would make sense for the strong girls to stick together. But at that time I had an alliance of like seven girls and I was like, respectfully, like, you don't fit on my roster. Like, I can't.
Yeah.
So there had been an earlier conversation, but way earlier in the season. But the alliance with Tori and Bananas, like, literally happened in a 3 to 5 minute conversation. And it was just like, sounds good to us. Like, you all just won, so obviously we're going to agree with you.
Yeah, hard to be like, I don't want to work with you guys.
Right, please just put me in tomorrow.
Yeah, if you don't mind.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
No, I'm sorry.
Go ahead. Was just going to say, but I think, once again, it speaks to your integrity because you really went out of your way to honor that agreement throughout the rest of the season. And, you know, until the very end where, I mean, there was really just a lack of options and Michelle lied to you guys.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I think I've heard Michaela talk about this where she was like, well, of course I was going to say it in that moment, but it didn't mean I had to stick to that. Whereas I was like, I said it and they proved themselves on more than one occasion. So it was like the least I can do is
honor it.
Hold up my end of the bargain.
Yeah.
No, yeah, that's literally what I was going to say, because I just listened to that that interview that she did on the Zach Nichols podcast. We'll go ahead and link it down below. Keep in mind, anybody listening, it is on Patreon. So you do have to pay for the interview, but it's worth it. But I had actually just heard that yesterday where, you know, she was talking about how it wasn't necessarily like a handshake. Yes, this is an alliance. It was more of a, I did this for you. I feel like you could do this for me. And she was like, cool, that's what you think. But I never actually agreed to it. And so it's interesting to see like how one situation can be like perceived differently from like different people, depending on how they approach the game.
Yeah.
And not that I think like one way or the other is right or anything like that. You know, she interpreted it the way she did. You interpreted it the way you did. Tori did the way she did. And, you know, that's just what happens. But it's just interesting to see like, you know, how that varies from person to person.
Well, it's a very survivor way of approaching it, right? It's like, I didn't explicitly say it, so it should be okay. And I think that's also where Chris messed up in his game. So remember, he had a conversation with me at one point in the game. He was like, well, I haven't really lied to anyone in this game. I just haven't always told the whole truth. Or I've told like different versions of the truth. And I was like, oh, okay, that sounds like a lie from where I stand. But like, if that makes sense to you, then like, great, great, great. But now you know why nobody trusts you, because you're telling different versions of the truth, which inherently has to be a lie to someone.
Yeah, it was interesting to see different variations of Survivor gameplay in a challenge house, especially as like a huge fan of Survivor, to see that many people come in. And then to be able to come back on this podcast every week and be like, I would just like to point out Survivor's all still there. And I get to do that for a while, which was nice.
And the fact that Sebastian stayed there that long, not really playing the game, like, is also impressive, because he was just living his best life.
He really was. And look, that man was in love.
Oh my gosh.
That was some puppy love if I've ever seen it. But I think it's very telling that you kind of mentioned like, like, because from the edit, we had the perspective like on Cassidy that she felt like she was so safe because the team she drafted. But to hear like kind of like what you saw out, you know, in the house that we didn't get in the edit, it makes a lot more sense on why she didn't build certain alliances stronger that could have actually helped her in the long run.
Yeah. She kind of came back around to the Survivor girls later, but it was like
too late.
Where have you
too
been?
Too late.
Right.
Yeah.
Where have you been the past 5 weeks? Like. It's too late. Go on in that sand.
You're right. Get back down there.
Well, and that's the thing. Like that episode, that first episode where Chris gets thrown in, like he literally lies to every single person in the house and tells them a different story. And then he wonders why he kept getting thrown in. It's like you ruined all social credibility that you had.
Yeah.
Of course you're going to get thrown in.
Yeah. Nobody trusts you. Yeah. But there was no helping Chris.
Always assume everybody is talking to everybody. Like, that's just what I would assume in the house is that everybody's talking to everybody, especially in the beginning of the game.
Yeah. So keep your story straight. Yep. He thought that middle game was, he was like, oh, I'm living sweet.
Right.
The middle also ends up being the sand a lot, too.
Right. Yeah. And the middle of the arena.
Yeah. Michelle found that out the hard way, too.
But at the same time, major props to Chris because he had such a messy game and he was such a big target the whole season and everything was so messy. And he still managed to make it to the final and then whoop everybody's ass in it. So major props to
annihilate in the final.
I have no idea how he managed to make it through this season. Like it was every week we were like, oh, this has got to be the week Chris goes home. And then it wasn't. And we were like, is he actually going to make this final and like pull a survivor all over again? And he sure did.
He did just that. It was impressive. His final performance was hella impressive. I mean, those final challenges, like once he locked in, I was like, who is this animal?
I don't know if anyone else caught it, but I really appreciate the millennial in you that just said hella. Right? I just want to throw that out there.
Yes. Did I just say that? Yeah. It slid off the tongue so awkwardly. I didn't even notice.
I'm about to go watch Legends of the Hidden Temple after this. Right.
Oh, hell yeah.
So good.
Actually, I do need to watch that.
Does Monday at the office feel like a storm? Not with Microsoft Copilot. That feeling when Copilot gets everyone up to speed instantly? It's sunny again. When Copilot simplifies complex data so your teams can act, that sun's shining on a beach. And when Copilot uncovers hidden insights, you're on that beach with your people and you find buried treasure. That's Microsoft Copilot. Learn more at Microsoft.com/AI for all.
I think, and I know Tony will probably disagree with me on this because of his fandom of Survivor, but it's why I like the challenge more than Survivor is because at the end of the day, you might ruin all social credibility in the house, but someone still has to eliminate
you out.
Yeah. If you go down there and win, there's nothing anybody can do about it.
Yeah.
And that's what I appreciate. And that's why I think this win for Chris means so much and is so important to him and so impressive to us as the viewers.
Yeah.
And then, of course, your win, and we'll get into the final. It's just the best redemption arc we've seen over a 2-season span ever.
Yeah, I mean, Chris's win was just amazing, and that's why I like the challenge better than Survivor 2. Obviously, I didn't do that great on Survivor, but it does give people have to pause to throw a strong player in. Like you have to think about the repercussions all the way around. Whereas Survivor, it's like if we just blindside her, she's gone, and then we never have to deal with that wrap.
Well, that's the thing too. Like you were perceived as a threat because you won your individual immunity, and then like that's how you ended up out of the game. And that's actually what I prefer to the challenge over Survivor is people like you and like Malcolm Freeberg and people like that. Like if you're on the challenge, they still have to take you out of the game, not just vote you out of the game. Mm-hmm. And that's what I prefer. That's why I like seeing so many Survivor people coming over is because you can't just vote them out anymore. And I mean, the last two finals, I would like to point out for USA 1 and 2, they're all Survivor winners. So
yeah,
booyah.
You're not wrong.
Survivor owns Challenge USA.
I mean, so far.
Look, like I don't want to discredit Sarah's win or Angela's ability in the final in USA 1, but we all have had a very strong debate that if what doesn't happen in USA 1 with Enzo, you are very close to getting there to the end.
Front runner for USA 1.
Yeah. And even Danny, we talked to Danny about it, and he goes, look, like, I'm not, like, it sucked what happened. I'm not upset because I got more money because just me and Sarah finished. But Desi would have finished that final. She would have done the Sudoku. She would have gotten through it. And he knows it.
Yeah.
And I think, look, like I've talked to Danny throughout the season, and like, he's like, you seen how good she's doing? You seen how good she's doing? I'm like, yeah, dude, I'm watching.
Well, and then he recapped the final with us. Yeah. Yeah. He had such great things to say. I'm pretty sure he said he was like, the only way I would ever come back on the show is if like the time was right, the money was right, and I got to be partners with Desi. I'm like, okay.
Oh, that's damn. Fair.
Yeah.
Damn. Wow.
Right?
Look, I'm just saying, sure. Maybe season 40, they should bring back USA 1 and 2 winners. Ooh. And partner them.
That would be crazy.
Like, make Chris and Sarah work together, and you and Danny.
Oh, gosh. Could you imagine? Actually, I think they would get along. They would get along really well.
Chris and Sarah? I think they would.
I think they would actually do well together. I mean, I would still consider you and Danny the front runners,
right,
but they're not far behind in that situation. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, they would be a good
pair. That'd be interesting.
Pair.
I mean, there's a reason you're first draft on the draft. Like, for us, for the Challenge Fandom podcast draft. And as soon as the first person was like, Desi, you heard a chorus of, ah, fuck.
It was Josh. Yeah, and everybody was like, damn it.
Shit. Oh, thanks, guys. I'm blushing.
So you guys get through that final elimination, watch Josh get eliminated after the Challenge Karma Gods came acting swiftly. and then, you know, from the edit, it goes straight into the final. Obviously, you guys had some time to prep. You knew you guys were going into the final. What were your emotions leading up to that?
Honestly, I get really nervous before dailies, before finals. I don't know why my anxiety just like gets the best of me, but I know why. I always think they're gonna make a skydive. Like, in my head, I'm like, today's the day they're gonna make a skydive, and I don't want to do that. So I was just nervous, like couldn't really eat. Like, I get the nervous shit. So like,
I get them before the podcast, so I can't even imagine. Yeah, like
I think I need to use the bathroom, and it's like, no, you don't. You just went to the bathroom.
No, I do.
But obviously also like I also knew I was going to the final with like the other three strongest women in the house. So it was like, this could be anyone's game. Like, just try to stay as calm as possible, do your best. Like, you never know what's going to happen in a final.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't know we have no idea what we're walking into. We have no idea what the final is going to be. We have no idea how many days the final is going to last. Like, it's just, you're just like, I guess they won't let me die.
I mean, I suppose, you know.
Yeah.
They might get in trouble for that.
Yeah, right. They might lose the franchise if they let one of us die. So that probably is not going to happen.
Yeah, probably not.
This season, I was also really big on like positive affirmations. So I had like this list of positive affirmations I'd go through at least 10 times every single day. So then it was just like, let me just repeat these in my head to get my mind off of everything
else. Oh, yeah. What I was curious about was with day one, because this was one of the weirdest day ones of a final we've ever seen, where it was just individual stages. Did we miss anything in that, or did they show all of day one pretty much?
I mean, there was an overnight challenge, but that was all of day. Like, we really didn't get started until like later in the afternoon. We were all like, what is happening? Like, when does this final start? So I don't know if they were having, I don't know what the delay was, honestly. But no, that was all of day one. And then we had an overnight that lasted a few hours.
Right.
Yeah.
I think what you didn't see was a lot of day two, like the actual running.
Right.
That was the final. Like, none of that was shown, which I knew none of it would be shown because there were no cameramen. Like, I'd go for miles and miles and miles. And I'd be like, "Is like, there's like, I'm alone. Like, am I even on? Like, I must be on the right track, I think, but like, there's not a single cameraman, there's not a single other person. Like, it is just me and grass and dirt and rocks, like, and trees.
Is there another human even out here? Yeah, no,
but that is truly what it felt like. So like, a lot of people are like, did you know you were winning? And I was like, I thought I was in the lead, but I also was like, I could be on the wrong mountain at this point. Like,
right,
I haven't seen another person. I don't know. Like, the distance between checkpoint 2 and checkpoint 3 was so far that it was like,
did you have markers at all? Or was it just like, hopefully
every maybe like half a mile or so, there'd be like a yellow stick in the ground.
Mm.
Gotcha.
And be like, all right, I guess I'm on the right track.
Or somebody likes yellow.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Someone, or this is here from us. Like another foot race. Right. Or there was a foot race over the weekend and they just forgot to pick up their markers. Like, it was just like, it's going to be anything.
They're filming Amazing Race at the same time. Save money.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it could be.
Oh, shit. Oh my gosh.
Like, I hope I'm on the right track, but it's really weird that there's no footage of this. So,
right.
Am I in last place because nobody cares where I am? Like, I don't, it was weird.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. Are they not filming me because I'm in last and I suck right now? Like, yeah. Oh, that's interesting. Yeah.
It was just like, none of this makes sense to me.
I was really surprised that that's all there was in day one, though, was just those checkpoints. Like, there was no running from one checkpoint to the other.
It wasn't a race. Yeah.
You know, anything like that. And then the other question I had is about that first strength test. How heavy were those boxes?
So friggin' heavy. I would have to guess half our body weight, what I think would be my best guess.
Oh, for each box.
Each box.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow.
Like, jeez.
So pulling those two at the end.
Maybe a third, but I don't know. It felt heavy to me, but I've also never pulled. Like, I've done sled pushes, but it's very different to, like, pull up behind you. up a hill. Yeah. Well, like, not a even hill.
No.
So I would, yeah. Anywhere between a third and a half for our body weight, but I would say closer to a half.
Yeah, that's crazy. And then what was after the strength one? It was the, I'm trying to think of
spelling.
Benigancy.
Oh, the spelling one. That's right. And that was like the funniest part of the whole final. Like, in your confession.
Who knew? I know. When I was like, we're going to do spelling. Like, yeah. All right.
You're like, okay, yeah, double down. I don't know how
this is entertaining, but but then I figured it out. I was like, oh yeah. Gosh, these people really don't know how to spell. That was shocking to me, honestly. It was shocking how bad people were at spelling.
Your confessional was perfect. And then the whole thing with, you know, Corey and Fessel and Bananas. And I love that moment so much. I even put it on my little soundboard here.
Benigancy.
Oh my gosh, it's so funny.
It was so great. But yeah, obviously you obviously doubled down on the spelling thing. Did you expect like everybody to just be as absolutely horrendous at spelling as they were, or were you?
No. I hesitated to double down. Like, I almost didn't double down. And then the last one, I was like, you know what? If there's anyone that I can, like, I am a decent speller. I mean, I'm not spelling B champ like Chris, but I'm decent at spelling. I could have never thought that those people would be that bad. Oh
my gosh. I was going to ask, did you know that Chris was a spelling bee champ before this?
Did you let that slip in conversation?
I did not. No, he never let that slip. But I did expect him to perform better. In my head, I was just like, Chris is like really, really smart. I don't know why I thought Chris was really, really smart. Like, he sells solar door to door. Like, I don't know where I got this like really intelligent thought from. So I'd expected him to do better. But yeah, for him to say later in confessional that he was a spelling bee champ, I was like, you could keep that to yourself. Because by the time you know this confessional, you already know how that part ended up.
Well, and then like right down to Tori not realizing it was plural.
Yeah. Oh, I know that part. I don't know. That part was weird.
I agree.
But like you guys said, everybody else caught the plural except her. So that's fine.
And I agree. That's on her. Yeah. If she didn't hear it, she could have said, what? Can you say that again? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. But I think he also used it in a sentence.
He did.
Yeah.
He did.
Yeah.
He said in the challenge, it's really good to have alliances. So that's on her.
So that couldn't have been. Yeah. That couldn't have been plural.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, look, and let's be honest. I know you already played the sound, but Corey was the star of that that checkpoint. It really was great.
Corey is always the star of anything like trivia, spelling. It's Corey and Nelson. Like, they're always the best. And by best, I don't mean like that they do good. They do so horrible that it actually makes those things entertaining.
Yeah.
Yeah. He definitely was. Really bad, but he was really bad at all of the things.
It was hard to watch a little bit.
It was so, but you guys, you didn't even like, he literally went over in a corner for like probably 20 minutes and was just like, had to like gather himself. Like, he was so sad.
He was.
I think he just put so much on himself that first day of the final, and it didn't fall his way. Yeah. It just was too much for him.
Yeah.
But I mean, at the same time, like we all said, like if there's anyone that could have made up that deficit on the second day, it's Corey.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And yeah. So fast.
Yeah. He did a good job. Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. He went from 7 minutes behind Bananas, who was in first, to coming in second. Like, that's huge for where he started to where, like, TJ asked him if he wanted to take a nap before he started because he had the time.
Yeah. It's like, poor Corey. Yeah, by day two, he was in better spirits. But day one, I was like, are you going to cry?
Poor guy.
And we all felt for him, too, because, like, everybody, it's hard not to love Corey.
Yeah, it is.
He's a great guy.
So the most important question, have you ever thrown an axe before?
Never touched an axe before. That was my first time touching an axe. I was like, all right, bye.
I'm giving you props because at least you threw it right. We were sitting there watching Tori trying to like Paul Bunyan one hand that thing. It was like, that's never going in.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen it like on Instagram. People go on dates and do like axe throwing and they always use two hands. So I was like, all right, pick this up, two hands, focus on the target. And I was like, oh, that worked.
Here I go.
I don't know. Maybe I have a career. Yeah. Maybe I have a career in axe
throwing.
They even
added a cat screech to Tori's throwing at one point where she threw something really off the side. And then you just hear that cat screech sound effect.
That's so funny.
Too good.
It's always a theme of cats. I don't know why we can't get away from cats on the challenge.
I was going to say, what was with the cat on Fessy's chest and all of that? Was
there around like the house.
Yeah.
Was there like a house cat?
We had a house cat.
Yeah.
There was a house cat.
Oh,
I think she was sickly.
Oh.
It didn't seem like she was all that well. But yeah, we had a house cat. They would take food out to her, pillows, blankets.
Aw.
Lily. I think they named her Lily.
Oh my gosh, so funny. It reminds me of the little like pet monkey that they had on Rivals that was living in the house.
Ooh, that's so much more fun.
Wouldn't leave them alone. And Laurel used to sit out and like brush it and feed it. And everybody's like, that thing is so dirty. Don't do that. And she's like, it's fine.
Look, I would not be able to do that because I've seen that movie Outbreak. Yeah. So I just don't fuck with monkeys like that. I don't want to catch.
I wouldn't either. So the cat did not come into the house. Okay. I would have had to draw the line at that. The cat stayed in that. Like in the outside area.
Right.
Fair. Yeah, that's fair.
I don't know. We don't know where this cat came from, right? It could have any type of
disease. Yeah.
It could have rabies or something.
I still remember the first time that we had you on for the interview because all during the recaps and like exit interviews and stuff, for the most part, my cat Jenga would always come in and she would always meow and she was very vocal to the point where like we considered her an extra host. And we were like, look, Desi's coming on. We want to like be as professional as possible. So I had this door behind me shut and she was on the other side meowing. And Rick was finally like, aww, just let her in. And I was like, yeah, sorry, that's my cat. And your response was, that's a cat? Because she was just making this really mournful meow on the other side of the door just to come in and be part of the conversation.
That's so, I actually don't remember that, but that's funny.
It was a good moment. It was a good moment.
Yeah.
I had a question and it's really just for my clarification of understanding what happened in this after the first checkpoint on day two. Was it very clear which way was the shortcut and which way was not the shortcut?
That's a good question. I don't even know. If I'm reflecting back on it, I don't know which way was not the shortcut.
Okay.
Right.
So I don't know. I mean, there was a sign that said shortcut this way, but I don't think I inquired like what's not the shortcut way. I don't know what that was. It was clear that the shortcut is this way.
Right.
I don't know if it was clear that the non-shortcut is that way.
That makes sense. Okay. Gotcha. I was just curious because it's
I think it was clear that that was a shortcut.
Fair enough. I was just wondering, like, was it diverging trails or two completely separate trails? And it sounds like it was two completely separate trails.
Right.
Yeah. And I don't know that for sure. Because again, I have no idea what the non-shortcut trail was, but I do think it was the opposite direction. But it is weird that they wouldn't have stopped him sooner to be like, you're going
the wrong way. I thought that too. I was like, that was very petty of the challenge. They were like, we're going to let him get all the way up there and then we're going to turn him around. Like, that's what you get for taking
and
the...
And we'll focus on this sign here behind him that he just ran past that says shortcut.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say anything. We're just going to zoom into the sign. Oh, that's so petty.
But I don't think they added more miles necessarily onto his. Like, I think he just had to make up the miles he had missed.
Right. Yeah. They just sent him back down that trail again.
Yeah, but still, it was weird that they didn't like you're going the wrong way and turn him around. I don't know. That was I didn't realize he had done that. So I actually remember passing him as I was getting to checkpoint two and he was going the opposite way. And I was like,
do we have to go back?
Because again, there's no cameras. So I'm like, am I going the wrong way? Like, what's that? I was so confused. But also, I had seen everybody else run. So.
Well, I guess apparently, like when he was running back and Bananas was running up and Fessy was coming back, according to Bananas, Fessel actually told Bananas, yeah, no, we have to turn around and go back. Once you get up there, you have to turn around and go back. And was like trying to get Bananas to just turn around and go back so he wouldn't be behind it.
I think Bananas is the wrong guy to pull that on. Mister, yeah. I've been in like 10 finals. Maybe pull that one on like Chris or Corey.
Yeah.
You might have had a better chance.
Right. But you got to give him, I mean, he was just trying to preserve himself at that point.
He was, yeah. Poor guy.
So one thing I found was very interesting from at least what we saw in the edit is that the ATVs after that scale portion really made the difference in who finished first and second in the final because it was such a large advantage.
Yeah.
Knowing that you and Michaela got there first and you made the conscious decision like, no, I'm going, there's only one left. It's mine.
Yeah.
At that time, once you got in that ATV, did you kind of realize, hey, I just made a $250,000 decision?
It wasn't so much me doing it. It was her deciding not to do it. That I was like, oh, I think now I'm going to win. Because full disclosure, like by the time we got there, I was dehydrated. Like I had the nervous shits that morning too. So like I was dehydrated. Like I don't have any food in me because we didn't really eat last night. All the water that I drank.
It's gone.
Released right behind that tree over there. Like, yeah, it's out of me. So I knew, I was like, there's no way I can run this entire 10 miles. Like, I just don't have the fluid in me to do it. And I also kind of had a sense that Michaela didn't either, because we had run that whole first portion together. So there were moments where I was ahead and I'd wait for her and then she would be ahead and she'd wait for me. Like, we were kind of like going pacing ahead and behind each other. Yeah, we were pacing each other the whole time and like encouraging each other through the miserable parts of it. So I was just like, if I can't, don't think I can run for 10 miles or if at this point for like 7 more miles. I don't know how she thinks she can. So it was more her deciding not to do it that I was like, pretty sure I can win this now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I just won if I'm on the right trail.
Right? How long did it take to do the scale portion?
No, I mean, I had no real semblance of time, but maybe 10 minutes, if I had to guess, 10, 15.
So like, she really could have hung out.
She could have just hung out. Yeah. Because it wasn't long after that Bananas got his wrong. Right. And really, I did mine slower because I saw him get it wrong. And he picked his rock back up. That was really the factor for me. I guess he had forgotten to get the rock at the first station that we were supposed to carry that whole time. So he had to pick the rock back up and keep carrying it. But I thought if I got it wrong, not only do I not get the ATV, but I also have to keep carrying this rock.
Oh,
and I
was like, okay.
There is no way I can keep running and carrying this rock. So I like really, really, really took my time at that station.
It showed. I felt
like it was going to be like the make or break moment.
Yeah. It was impressive.
I was like, when you pulled that lever and it didn't go anywhere, I was like, wait a second, is that one broken? Like, what happened?
Well, I also was like, and then TJ didn't say anything. He was just like, wow. And I was like, what does wow mean? He was like, wow. I was like, does that mean I'm good, TJ? Like, give me something more. Like,
can I go?
I got more stuff to get done here.
Right? Yeah. Right. Well, and it's funny, too, because when Chris had originally got, I think it was Chris that got there first.
Yeah.
When he had originally got there and you know, and TJ was like, oh, you have to balance it. And then, you know, he does a thing and it goes like this. I was like, oh, Chris didn't get it. And then TJ was like, you're good. Like when he said balanced, I thought he meant how yours was.
Like the definition of the word balanced.
Yeah. But I guess just if it didn't touch the ground, you were good to go. I don't know. But
yeah, I thought the same thing as you. So
yeah. Yeah. That was awesome.
How big of a distance was it between you and Chanel at the finish line? Was there like quite a large chunk of time? Because it was kind of portrayed that you guys were relatively close.
Mm-hmm.
At least 10 to 15 minutes. At least 10 minutes.
About a mile behind you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Or half a mile. Because that last was the last. Actually, the whole thing was like kind of very uphill.
Right.
So a mile time to get uphill is probably longer than 10 minutes. Especially.
Yeah. No, that's
maybe
that's
about a half mile or so. Yeah.
Especially on day two.
Crazy that's though, super yeah. impressive.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
I thought it was very poetic. Because Corinne had brought this up and I didn't even realize it, which was how poetic this season was, because we saw what happened last season. And after Enzo decided to quit the final and it automatically eliminated you, which was one of the stupidest fucking rules ever.
Yeah.
You kind of like lay down and sat down on the ground and just broke down, which anyone would do.
Like with your hands on your knees. Hands yeah. in the head, you know, and then when you won the final, we got that exact same shot of you sitting in that exact same position, still crying, but for like a completely different reason. And it was just like, I was like, this is so poetic. This is so beautiful. Like just the chances that she sat in that exact same position, you know what I mean? And it was just, it was so like that moment was so awesome. And then it flashes to your confessional and you're crying of just like pure happiness. It was just like, look, I'm starting to tear up now. Like, it was just so awesome. Oh my God, I loved it all so much.
I don't even think I realized it. It was like the same posture. So I guess that's like my crying pose. I don't know.
It's like yoga.
I'm like, I don't know if I do that in real life or not. But yeah, this was certainly like, I needed this. Again, like I built my confidence up all season one long. And then it was like, all right, this could have been a fluke. So then to make it to the finals, I was like, all right, so wasn't a fluke the first time. Like, I don't suck at this show.
No.
So to win, like, I feel like, and you guys even said it, you like, I was your first draft pick. And like, mm-hmm. you know, Danny says all these great things about me, but I don't necessarily view myself in that light. I'm just like, you know, I'm just a regular person like everyone else doing mm-hmm. regular people things. So I require, it drives my fiance crazy, but I do require like words of affirmation. I need to see
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
To see the confirmation. I can't just like, I don't think I'm high and mighty. I don't have like a huge ego. It's just like, I show up and I do my job. And that's kind of the person I've always been. So it meant a lot to me to like, be able to walk away and be like, I was successful. Like, you know, I shouldn't doubt myself. Like everything all these people are saying about me, maybe it's true. And maybe I need to believe it.
Yeah.
100% is. Look. Exactly. I don't think there's one person that we've all agreed on that we would want to see on the flagship compete against, you know, the Laurels, the Cara Marias, more mm-hmm. than you, Desi. I mean, look, it's not just the fans that see the potential. It's your fellow competitors as well. They know how big of a threat you are.
Yep.
And so I think that confidence and you can throw a little bit of ego in there is well deserved on your side. And,
yes.
You know, you've earned it.
Thanks, guys. Yeah. I don't know about you. I don't know if ego serves people well, really, in real life, but in the challenge, it definitely does. So I've got to work on that. I've got to learn rage and ego. Where
do Look, I find them? The first part is changing your, you know, your sign off on your emails to doctor and challenge champion. Maybe put the hyphen in there. That's the first part. Like, let people know, you know, like it's a select group.
Right. That's very true. Very true.
I mean, really, if you factor in like how many people have won the challenge over the last like 10 years, like more people have been to the moon.
Damn. I like that. There's like a pageant saying that's like, you're more likely to have a son play in the Super Bowl than a woman to compete at Miss America. That's like our like claim to fame. So that's a, mm-hmm. I like this man on the moon analogy.
I mean, now I'm going to do like the real numbers and I'll send you a message to confirm on that.
Send me all the data. So yeah.
Right.
Look, I'm in sales and marketing. So sometimes it's just talking out of my ass. It's just what happens. And I apologize in advance.
It's all good. Different version of the truth, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. It's everybody has their own truth.
Exactly.
Look, one of my favorite things is there's a picture and it's a cylinder, right? And there's a light flashing on it from the side and then one flashing on it from the front. And if you look at it from the front, it looks like a circle. But if you look at it from the side, it looks like a rectangular, mm-hmm. a rectangle. Mm-hmm. Both are true. It's just about your perspective, right? Yeah. With that being said, now that you're a challenge champion, do you feel like you're done with the challenge or is there still some in the tank to want to go do another one?
We'll see. TBD. Like, I don't know. I go back and forth. I'm getting married next year. So like next year might not be great timing. At the end of the day, like I do love competing. Like this is, I'm 34. So it's like, how many opportunities do you have at this age to compete at this level and do these like crazy once in a lifetime things? So if the timing's right, maybe post-marriage, pre-baby, I might have one more.
Ooh, left in me.
I would love to see it. I mean, regardless if it's flagship, USA, world championship conglomerate, whatever they're going to call it. I think,
yeah, whatever's happening next for the challenge.
Yeah, yeah, my personal opinion is you're a great addition to the show. Yeah. You bring a lot to it, and I would love to see you come back. Absolutely. I mean, I'm speaking for the whole podcast right now, but.
Thanks, guys. It's been a fun ride. It's definitely been a fun ride. I mean, so many things have happened in my life that I could have never anticipated or like expected. Like I never in a million years would have thought I'd go on the challenge, let alone win the challenge. So I definitely like it. I'm not counting anything out. I just take life as it comes. And if I can squeeze it in and make it work.
It goes like my wife watches the challenge. She watches Survivor as well. And I have never seen Sarah so invested in a singular competitor or a season than rooting for you this season and last season. Like, she's a huge fan. And so I sent this to you, but I don't know if I told Rick and Karina when you won. First off, I cried both times, both when I watched it the first time and then when I was taking notes after I already knew what was going to happen.
Same. But yeah.
When you crossed the finish line, we both yelled. Like, we both cheered and then immediately stared at our 2-year-old son's door because his room is off the living room and we were sitting like maybe 10 feet away. And we were just like, I swear, if we just woke Malcolm up because we were cheering, watching a TV show, we will have a sleepless night and it will be 100% all our fault. But he did not wake up.
Right.
But it was just one of those moments where you're so very aware that you have a kid that's sleeping on the other room. So like, you've got closed captioning on, you're listening at a moderate volume. And then we just spike the whole damn thing as soon as you cross the finish line. And you know what? If you would have woken up, it would have been absolutely worthwhile. You would have been like, look, this is why we woke you up.
Right. Nothing bad is happening. Yeah. Yeah. Very exciting ending. Yeah. And obviously I was excited, but also depleted. Like I literally got to the top of the mountain. I was trying to cry. And I was like, I must be dehydrated because like literally no, like I'm just sobbing, but like no tears are coming out because I guess I've got no liquid left inside of me.
Look, yeah. Super impressed that you and Chris were able to get up on that little
tiny rock together.
Yeah, that tiny rock. I was like, oh my God, she just won. They're going to make her break her fucking ankle. I
mean, not my idea. Yeah, I felt the same way. And like mostly if you see, like I'm really not on it. Like I'm holding on to Chris. Like he is holding me on that rock. I'm like, can y'all help? Y'all don't have any better shot that you can get in this moment. Like, I'm exhausted. You have no water for me up here. Like, and now you want me to stand on this tiny mound?
Where is your water bottle? I know you have a water bottle, TJ, and I need it now.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I ended up, one of the cameramen gave me his water. Because he was like, you need some water. I was like, thank you. Like, why? Yeah,
you guys should probably have that at the finish line next time.
Right. Just
like they do at fun runs and things like that.
Right, exactly.
Like, can we at least do this with a marathon where like we got like TJ's mom standing at a checkpoint, like just with a table with water so you can just keep going, right, you know, exactly. Something.
There was water at like where we built those blocks up, but then you have to like stop and you have to take your camel pack off. And it's like, I'm not going to waste that time in the middle of the race. But at the end of the race, I would like to hydrate.
I would like some water. Yeah.
That makes sense.
Maybe a little, you know, a little power bar or something like...
I mean, I would have taken anything in that moment. A beer would have been nice.
Right? Oh yeah.
That's
what they give you at the end of a marathon.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah. I mean, look, to be honest, I bet that would have been the best tasting beer in the world there and then. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Next time you're going to have to convince TJ, like, hey, top of the mountain beer on you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. If it's me again.
Yeah. Yep.
So I am fairly certain we had asked you this because we know that you'd watched the challenge before. But now playing with vets and seeing kind of how the gameplay goes with them, if you had to choose one as a partner, who would it be? Let's say you're going to reserve judgment until you get to play with CT.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I wouldn't mind. Yeah, that would be awesome. Out of this group, it would be Bananas. If I had to choose purely vets, if I had to go choose my team again, I guess I haven't watched that many like more modern day challenges. I might have chosen Fessy as first on my team.
There you go. Yeah.
I mean, he's a hell of a competitor during the season, just kind of falls a little bit short during the finals.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Not so great at finals, but the things this man was doing, especially like the first 2 weeks of the season, he was celebrating Ramadan. Right. or observing, I guess. So he wasn't eating or drinking all day long, but still like that capsize challenge. I think he swam that back and forth 6 times because he helped literally every single girl on his team swim that with no food, no water, like storm the castle. Like the man is just his athleticism. I've never seen anything like it. And the versatility of his athleticism.
It's very much, and I know you're not going to like this comparison, but it's very CT-esque, which is the fact that he is good at multiple things. There's not just one thing that he's really good at. He's, you know, like you said, he can perform. I mean, and look, he did it a couple of years ago when he was observing Ramadan and didn't eat and was still winning dailies. It is impressive.
It's impressive. Yeah. It really, I could not, I can barely go without breakfast. And I'm like, I need a nap. I need to sleep or something. Else. Why am I so tired? Oh, it's because you haven't eaten anything.
Yeah. It was, I was just like, wait, you haven't, what? So yeah, after Storm the Castle, he was like dry heaving, but there was nothing coming up because he literally had nothing in his system because he hadn't eaten or drinking anything all day.
Fessy takes a lot of heat, but and like you said, you know, the finals, he struggles with the finals. I was impressed with his, with the eating portion.
This was a great season for him.
He finished it, and you know, so props to him.
Well, it goes back to what Desi said earlier, like ego in the game is good to a certain extent, and yes. and Fessy's got an ego, let's be honest.
Yeah,
but I mean, from hearing this, it's at least well deserved from what I've heard.
It's actually funny, we were at the bar one day. Sorry, you guys are probably trying to wrap this up and I just
we're on with Desi, we don't care.
yeah
So after I had moved to the blue team, like then you know Fessy and I were on the same team together, I think we had won a challenge and we were at the bar, which they showed like really no bar activity again this season, so I don't know why they torture us into going every time, but
yeah,
we were just like talking drinking and he was like, so am I everything you, that you thought I was going to be? Like, am I like they, like you thought I was going to be? And I was like, Fessy, and this is true. I was like, I literally haven't had no idea who you were before we started this season. And he was like, really? And I was like, yeah, no, I had never heard your name before. So, so I had no expectations. So I think you're great in comparison to what people say about you. Right. But it was just like the ego that he was like, so what do you think about me versus what people say? And I'm like,
oh, it's the egos.
I had no thoughts about you before this game.
Oh, I'm sure that hurt.
I'm sure.
Maybe that's why he was more level this season.
Yeah. I mean, I think other people knew who he was. I had no idea who Fessy was. Like, I didn't watch his season of Big Brother. I don't really remember him from, I guess I haven't watched like the recent seasons of The Challenge because I don't really remember him.
Well, I mean,
I'm trying to think, what was the first season he was on?
Total Madness.
Total Madness.
Okay. I mean, you would have just remembered him getting fourth in finals. That's it.
That's true. Yeah.
I mean, look, like the only thing that would have been worse than what you said to him is like, no, I played with Danny, who was a professional football player last season. So.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, he did tell me about that. Yeah. He told me about that little tiff between the two of them. And I don't think either of them are healed. It doesn't sound like either of them.
I mean, they'll make a great rivals team someday.
I think Danny's beyond it.
I think Danny's beyond it, but I also think it went to another level when Fessel started tweeting Kiki, and that was like the line for Danny. It was like, nope, that's it. You don't talk to my wife.
I think that was the line for us too, as a podcast. We're like, hey, nobody talks to Kiki like that.
All the fans were like, you don't mess with Kiki.
right.
Look,
I'm just gonna be a sacred conversation.
Look, I'm just gonna be honest. When you're having a conversation with a former NFL football player and you have to post your college highlights, you're just already losing.
Just stop. Yeah.
You've already lost.
Yeah. Just stop.
You know what I mean? Just putting that out there.
I mean, you would think that he would see that, but
again, it's the ego.
What do you know? Think, what do you think his footer on his email is?
Oh my
gosh, that's actually a great question. Because do we think he even emails, or do you think he just does everything through DMs?
Ooh, DMs and text. Yeah, probably.
Yeah. I don't see him as a big email guy.
I don't either. I can't imagine him having
probably just sent from iPhone.
Sent from iPhone.
Sent from iPhone, former Division I college football player.
Right.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
See, I haven't eaten yet, so I'm getting a little hangry already.
I know, right?
Yeah, right.
Rick's taking shots.
Yeah. Look, he's not coming on the podcast. Let's be honest about this.
Yeah, we've
shot ourselves in the foot on that one.
We did. Yeah. We shot ourselves in the foot. Yeah. That's fine.
I'll tell you what. If you ever get the chance, you go back and watch Double Agents, you'll see why.
It was messy.
It's one of those where a lot of people didn't want to partner with him for a few seasons after because of that performance.
Yeah.
Oh, was that when he pushed somebody? When he got sent home? Is that
no,
season?
No. That was Spies, Lies, and him and Josh got into it. In Double Agents, they were randomly partnered with people throughout the season. And every woman that he got partnered with was like, I can't fucking stand him. He doesn't listen to me. He doesn't let me talk.
He talks to me like shit. He treats me like shit. Wow. Just like it was bad. Wow. Like this, the Fessel that we saw on USA 2, it was a complete like 180 from what we normally see of him. So you definitely got like the best version of Fessel to like play with.
The Bessel Fessel.
At least from what we saw in the edit.
I think definitely. I mean, Fessel talked very little, honestly. He was mostly in his bed.
He's learning.
Yeah. He also had a girl at home. I think he was trying his best. He was like, I'm just going to put this scarf over my head so I can't see other women. So I'm not tempted to.
It's like how I used to play hide and seek as a kid. I figured if you couldn't see me, I couldn't see you. That's how it worked.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, he made it to the end. Somehow.
He did.
Just hiding in his room.
Little side note. Our son, when he was younger, he'd do hide and seek, but he would cover his ears. And thought you couldn't see him.
Where's Luke? Where's Luke?
The funniest things ever.
So innocent. So cute.
Kids are great, man.
Now he runs around and screams. Oh.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah.
But that's all the questions I have so far. I mean, I'm sure I could sit here and just bullshit with you for the next 2.5 hours, Desi. Yep.
Nobody's going to listen to that, right?
I mean, they listen to us, so.
I don't know why, but.
I don't either.
Yeah, I mean, I have got no questions for you, if that's what you're asking. Yeah.
No, I was really asking them because I have a bad habit of just like steamrolling stuff because of my position at work. I typically run meetings. So if somebody doesn't speak up, I'm like, all right, let's get this over with. Otherwise, it could have been an email. So
it could have been an email.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, send for my phone. Right.
All right. Since I talk shit about his, I will put my footer out there because I work at an HVAC company. My footer is comfortably yours.
Very nice. Very
comfortably yours.
Comfortably yours?
Yeah. Because cute. It's heating and air. It's you know
corny.
What I mean?
It's corny, but.
It's corny, but I stole it from my old boss. I was like, you're retired, so I'm taking that.
He did. Yeah, I remember that.
I just say sincerely, so like that's better. Or warm regards used to be my thing, but I got a little tired of warm regards.
Mine's always best. I think mine's best regards, maybe.
See, before that, mine was just thank you. You know, thank you, Ricky Hayes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there you go.
So just Ricky. Jesus Christ.
Check us out next week as we talk about headers instead of footers.
Do you reply all?
Yeah. Please, dear God, don't.
Oh, my gosh. Please don't reply all.
So, exactly. Desi. Karina always asks this question, but I'm going to take it because I don't get to ask the GOAT question anymore. Because in my opinion, if you win one or two more, you are automatically in that GOAT conversation. So we're going to hold off until hopefully we get to see you on another season to ask you about the GOATs. But what I would like to know is once you're done, you know, you decide I don't want to do any more reality TV. It's time for me to start my family or, you know, really pursue my career, whatever it may be. And you stepped away. What do you want, like, for people to look back and see your overall message to be?
I think playing that you are able to play this game with integrity and still succeed.
Yeah,
I love it.
And I like that.
Don't talk about it. Be about it. I think those two things. Like,
hell yeah,
100%.
Oh yeah, I love that.
And
I love that.
If Wes is in the house, tell him you're voting for fucking Cassidy. Really
right. But he's retired, guys. So
we'll see.
Never, ever coming back.
I don't believe it.
He's retired like Michael Jordan retired in 94. He'll be back in a year.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. We'll see him on season 40.
And then try another sport. Right, right. And then after that, Ninja Warriors.
Westberg and Space Jam 3.
Yeah,
exactly. I heard they're going to do a new House of Villains soon.
Ooh, that would be interesting. I still have to watch that. It looks messy, really messy.
I haven't watched that either. I don't know what they do all day.
Well, I heard Traders too. We're getting some carryover from that too. Traders.
So, yep, CT's going to be on that one, and bunch of challengers.
Which means we're watching Traders because
we are watching. Be if CT's on the TV, we're watching it. Okay,
fair.
Yeah, as you should. As you should. That was the highlight of this season. Actually, was meeting CT.
Yeah,
and it was a very brief moment, and I didn't understand anything he said, but I was just like, "Holy crap!"
How did you meet CT though?
He came to our premiere party in Miami.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. That's so cool. Yeah. I was like, oh, CT's here.
Right.
Yeah. I fangirled really hard. And I was like, what do I say to him? He wasn't really interested in talking to me. So I didn't really have to come up with anything to say. So that was great.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He gets like that.
He's a man of few words. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I didn't take it personally. And my feelings weren't hurt. I was still just like, holy crap, it's CT.
Well, if you're watching 39, I think he shows up on this. I mean, MTV has only shown it on every single freaking episode since it started. But
what's the thing called?
A mace.
That thing is awesome.
Don't ask me why I know that. I just do.
Okay. Yeah, it's like the thing with the ball on the end and the spikes all over it. Oh. You know, like the gladiator type thing.
I don't know what a mace is. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah. Useless knowledge. But with that being said, Desi, thank you so much for joining us. It's always an absolute pleasure to be able to sit down and discuss the season with you and kind of pick your brain on it. And we appreciate you giving us that time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Of course, you guys are always so fun to talk to.
Oh,
thank you so much. And you know what? Thank you guys, everybody tuning in. You know, if you have some more questions, comments, leave them below. And if you get a chance, make sure you subscribe and check us out on YouTube. Make sure you subscribe on Spotify. I'm just going to say YouTube three times in a row, so ignore me.
All those platforms that you listen, wherever you listen, subscribe.
Do that. With that being said, everything linked below will have Desi's Instagram, you know, as well as links to our Instagram and everything else if you guys have more questions or want to keep the conversation going. But for everyone here at the Challenge Fandom Podcast, we want to thank you guys so much. Desi, thank you once again. Yeah. We really do appreciate it. And we'll catch you guys soon. Bye.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.